After marching a few miles, the column came to a little creek. Here they were ordered to fill their canteens. They were told they would not again find water for 12 miles. They kept in ranks for about 10 miles. The water had given out, the sun was very hot, and David commenced to get sun blind. He had to join the other men sitting under the trees. Sometime later, after getting some rest and relief from the heat, David again took out his diary. He quickly jotted a few lines before the men were back on the march again. He entered no date into his diary.
I told my tent mate, Chunky, I would drop in the shade a few minutes, and he said he was with me. We stopped about 15 minutes, then went on. The road was lined with men who were occupying every shady place.
The column marched through the fields and came to a wood road. Chunky told David, and they both agreed that going was better on the road than in the fields. How far they tramped in the woods was anybody's guess. But they all did know the pickets were nowhere to be found and their guides were hopelessly lost. The problem was simple. The column had passed through their own picket line, and it was not safe to return that way in the darkness. Chances were that somebody might get hurt. They had no way of knowing where the rebel army would pop up. Orders were given to the men in a whisper.
Make yourselves as comfortable as you can. No noise about it.
The officer's tone of voice reminded David of his own mother's way of getting him down for the night. But at this time, in this place, he knew no one would be tucking him in tonight, and he hoped especially not Johnny Reb. Under cover of their blankets and each on leaning on the opposite side of a tree, Chucky and David were soon fast asleep and did not wake until the break of day. The two men were not wakened by the sunrise, but they found that they had spent the night in 2 inches of water. They were both wet and cold. It was not the first time for either of them sleeping in a mud hole. It was nothing new. Chunky brought a smile to David and the other men's faces when he chuckled in a fake southern accent.
Y'all, this is the first time we started this here mulch that I have more water than I needed.
The laughter spread across the awakening men like a wave until the officers quieted them down. They still had a good chuckle anyway, and they all felt a little better, if only for the moment. Now, there was enough light to see through the morning mist that still clung to the ground, so the men started back towards camp. As far as anybody could figure out, it was about 2 miles back, just at the edge of the woods. They soon came into the picket line that some of them were supposed to relieve that night before. The reception by the pickets was mixed, with a good deal of profanity. The men on guard all night were silenced by informing them of how bright they had been to allow 300 men to pass through their lines unobserved. Then the pickets were relieved. During the time soldiers spend on the battlefield, there are moments of great excitement and long periods of boredom. Both of these experiences have a diminishing effect on the men's morale. Several of them became restless, and all were thinking about home. Even though David now had the free time, he did not always want to write down his memories. Some things he just tried to forget. But when the inspiration came to him, he wrote. He entered no date into his diary.
Nothing occurred during this time except we were ordered to fall in one afternoon and were informed that these 3 deserters were to be executed in our camp that morning. I was very glad that I did not get chosen for the firing squad. Even though it is hard to fire on the enemy, it'd be very difficult to fire on one of our own men. I know 2 of them personally, but never met the 3rd man. I wonder what their families will think. I don't see much in it, only that such was the doom of deserters, and I suppose was intended to give us a pointer not to desert.
Fire!
In the morning before the other men awoke and still under his blanket, David put his feelings to pencil. No date was entered into his diary.
Wet to the skin. Rain, high wind, cold.
Soon he could hear the crackling of a small fire, and he was sure that was hot coffee he smelled. But to his disappointment, it was Louisiana chicory they had confiscated from the Rebs brewing in the pot. During the American Civil War, Louisianans looked to adding chicory root to their coffee when Union naval blockades cut off the port of New Orleans. With shipments coming to a halt, desperate New Orleans, looking for their coffee fix, began mixing things with coffee to stretch out the supply. Acorns or beets also did the trick. Though chicory alone is devoid of the alkaloid that gives you a caffeine buzz, the grounds taste similar and could be sold at a lower rate. So after a cup of hot chicory, poor man's coffee, he continued writing in his diary. He entered no date as he began.
It rained all night, and we were wet to the skin. Spent a miserable night, and after the usual old bill of fare and rain and high winds, the command came to fall in, and then we got ready to march through Jefferson. The band struck up a jig, the boys gave a cheer, and the ladies waved their handkerchiefs. And the remarks made were, who wouldn't be a soldier?
Passing through mud from 4 to 6 inches deep, baggage wet and heavy, the men passed on to the battleground of South Mountain near Burkittsville. As the men marched along, they found a good many graves, mostly of New Jersey troops. One brigade was sent into this place to guard the gap in the day-by-day changing of the Union lines.